President-elect Trump taps a Coloradan to lead the Department of Energy. Who is Chris Wright, and what does his nomination mean for American energy policy? We discuss all this and more on this week's edition of the Power Gab podcast. I'm co-host Jake Fogelman, and you're listening to the audio version of the show. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing and sharing. And to check out the video version, head on over to powergab.org for new episodes every week. Enjoy! All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Power Gab, your go-to show for all things energy and environmental policy in the state of Colorado. I'm Jake Fogelman, joined as always by my co-host, Amy Cook. In this week's episode, we're going to do another update on sort of how the federal executive branch is shaping up, because we had a massive announcement over the weekend as to who is going to be taking over the Department of Energy with a special Colorado hook. Amy, if you want to tell us who President-elect Trump tapped.
For the Department of Energy, this really is exciting, and I couldn't be more thrilled. This is, I think you said it when we were talking off air, it's a home run, 100%. President-elect Donald Trump tapped Colorado's own Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy, Colorado native. He grew up in Colorado. He's a Colorado guy. He's an outdoorsman. He's an energy entrepreneur. He's innovative. He is a true conservationist. He is also understands the importance of modern energy in the world where we are today. He's been tapped for DOE to head up a Department of Energy, Energy Secretary, and he will sit on the National Energy Council, this newly formed council, which President Trump has made energy, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show, about how energy went through the election, how it is inseparable from economic policy. President Trump made it an issue for, in this election, he worked on, his message was people first. It was a people first energy abundance message. Chris Wright personifies that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Just for some more background, so Liberty Energy, obviously he founded that. It's an oil and gas company. I believe it's a midstream oil and gas company. Yep. But he's also been involved in the industry long before he founded Liberty. He was one of the early pioneers that worked in what ultimately became the shale revolution and fracking.
Right. He innovated. Yeah, he was a big innovator in hydraulic fracturing.
That's right. So the very thing that makes, you know, your home county, Weld County, so prosperous is this industry. And he's played a huge role in that. So someone that fundamentally understands what it means to unleash America's energy potential and to head an agency that's not so much tasked with the permitting and all that, but really to be sort of the bully pulpit for American energy policy. I can think of no better choice.
I can't even. What I love about this, Jake, is he was part of Weld County's oil and gas renaissance, really. He instrumental in it with the innovation in hydraulic fracturing. You saw Liberty. You'll see if you come up to God's Country, Weld County, and I welcome all of you up there. We love it. I've been there a long time. Since 1997, I've been in Weld County. So if you come up, you'll see Liberty Energy all over the county. They are resourceful. They are excellent managers of the resource. Chris is a conservationist. He's an outdoorsman. He also sits on the board of PERC, which is Property and Environmental Rights Coalition. I think that's what PERC's. Put it this way, Chris loves innovation and the outdoors equally. He knows, and he's been instrumental in natural resource production and management, at the same time safeguarding, you know, everything that's beautiful about Colorado and really the United States. He will bring to the Department of Energy a narrative, a message of energy abundance, as opposed to what we've seen the last 4 years, which is this energy deprivation narrative. I mean, you just get the feeling like it's morning on American energy right now. And it isn't just great news for us. It is great news for our allies, because you will have somebody who will be in your corner for affordable, reliable power for all. This couldn't be a better pick.
Yeah. To that end, the DOE oversees the LNG, the quote unquote LNG export pause that happened under the current administration, I should say. So I have a feeling that as soon as Chris Wright takes the helm, that won't be a thing anymore. And that will be to the great benefit of our allies that desperately need American energy to wean themselves off of hostile foreign actors and just to improve the lives of their citizens. And another thing I want to point out about Chris, which I think is fabulous, is he's not just an oil and gas guy either. He thoroughly believes in energy abundance across the board. And he sits on the board and invests in a couple of interesting technologies that we've talked about a lot on the show. Isn't that right, Amy?
Yeah, actually. So he's done, I love this. He sits on, he's a big fan of next generation nuclear.
Yeah.
And not just a fan of, but has invested in, what is it, Oklo?
I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He puts his money where his mouth is. He knows that oil and gas and modern energy are important to everyone. And modern energy means things other than oil and gas. Mm-hmm. It means a diverse portfolio, including sort of next generation or this new technology, small modular reactors. And he's spoken about it. He is the critics love to call, oh my gosh, big oil. But he is a man who is on the cutting edge of all energy technologies.
Right.
And what he wants is abundant energy from wherever it comes from. So long as it's affordable and reliable, that's where he sits.
Yeah, that reliability piece, I think, is telling to me just because not only is he on the board of Oklo and he's invested in Oklo, but he's also invested in Fervo, the geothermal energy company we've talked about.
So gosh, I forgot about that one.
It's very clearly a through line, oil and gas, super reliable. Next-gen nuclear and geothermal, we hope, super reliable once they're commercialized. He very clearly has an interest in these homegrown industries, energy innovation, and in particular, the most reliable resources.
And he's probably the smartest guy in any room he walks into.
Yeah, he is. We both met him and have heard him speak before. He is a very intelligent man. It's a very impressive pick. It's not like, sometimes when people get put in these cabinet positions, sometimes it's for a figurehead. No, this is genuinely a guy that is a nerd about this stuff, kind of like we are.
Yep.
And we'll get into the details and loves to geek out over this stuff. He's supremely educated, supremely experienced, just an impressive
And I'll figure. Tell you, here's the other, he's also just a decent human.
Yeah.
You can't help but like Chris Wright, just as a person, even if you didn't know what he did or what his background was, because he's genuinely a decent, kind, giving person. He wants to make the world a better place. And he knows two things do that. One, political freedom. I don't think it's a mistake or just coincidence that he named his company Liberty Energy.
Yep.
He is a firm believer in political freedom. The other thing is, and he has spent a lot of time talking about this, the importance of energy in bettering people's lives, mm-hmm. not just in the United States, but globally. And I love what he makes a point that, yes, climate change, it is certainly an issue to be discussed and to be dealt with and to overcome whatever challenges we need to. But, and I think you are too, we're 100% with him when he says, actually, the real problem is energy poverty. It's a much bigger problem when you have billions of people who don't have access to affordable, reliable energy. What do? Well, they degrade their own environment because people will find a way to create mm-hmm. energy. They'll burn dung. They'll burn, trees. They will burn whatever they have to generate energy. So energy deprivation is a tactic. It's a horrible strategy. I mean, it's a tactic people use, but it's a horrible strategy because if you're trying to or reduce emissions, because ultimately it doesn't.
Right.
People will burn anything to keep warm, to cook, to do whatever they need to do. People need energy. So don't keep affordable, reliable power from them. In fact, have an abundance of it so that it is less expensive, so that we can innovate and be creative about solving the world's problems. And that's Chris's angle. I mean, I'm so excited about this pick.
To that end, he puts out a report every year called Bettering Human Lives that in painstaking detail, you can see, we'll drop the online version in the show notes so people can check it out for themselves. But you can see that's a very thorough report there, basically breaking down that exact ethos where he breaks down how many people are living in energy poverty, what companies like his and other folks in the energy industry are doing to alleviate that. It's just, like you said, a fundamental philosophy that believes in energy abundance improving people's lives.
Go ahead.
You know, as we're singing his praises here and talking about sort of his philosophy, there are folks out there that don't seem to be quite so thrilled with his selection. Do you want to tell us a little bit of the reaction that that his pick has drawn from certain folks?
Well, it is predictable.
Yeah.
It is so pedestrian these days. Big oil, climate denier, climate conspiracies. Let me see if I can point it out. Oh, but my favorite. Okay, so but you hear the big oil, yada yada yada. I mean, that's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Nobody even hears it anymore. It's like calling Trump fascist and Nazi. Nobody pays attention to it anymore. Big oil, climate denier. That is the usual. But this one to me from the League of Conservation Voters, which is super active in Colorado. Here's what. His lack of government experience is a disqualification. I gotta tell you, nowadays, that's actually like a badge of honor. Here's what they said: with no experience in government, right will be primed to continue Trump's and, okay, this is the alert for the dog whistle, Project 2025's extreme agenda of prioritizing big polluters over our families, communities, consumers, and the environment. So I'm going to say this to the League of Conservation Voters. You obviously didn't get the message of this election, what the results were. People in the United States voted for a pro-reliable, affordable power over that myopic, narrow view of emissions only. In fact, control of the U.S. Senate ran through states that are natural resource managers and energy producers, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Montana. And they flipped control of the United States Senate. We also saw things happening down ballot in state upon state upon state, including here in Colorado.
Right.
Energy mattered, and people aren't buying that the climate change existential threat. You know what the real existential threat is? The real existential threat is no power. Here's what Chris said. He said this back in 2021. This is a quote from Chris from, I think this is something he wrote. Roughly 1 billion or 15% of the world's population live highly energized, wealthy, modern lifestyles, recognizable to those of us in this room, Coloradans. More than twice that many people, one third of the global population, cook their daily meals burning wood and dung and have either no electricity or only modest intermittent access to electricity. He finishes with this. I can think of no starker illustration of the immense inequality in today's world. This cannot stand. He's 100% right. 100% right. You know what? My guess is these people who are burning dung and wood would love nothing more than access to a little natural gas or maybe even propane.
Right.
Something where they can just cook their meals without having to chop it down or collect it somewhere outside or have a little heat on a cold night. Chris is the person who champions both cleaner, healthier environment as well as energy abundance. And he's like the living personification of that message.
Yeah, to that point, like the quotes from the detractors that you cited there and several others in all these articles, you know, everyone has to put out their press release statement about the, yeah. about the pick. It really is just like a throw in every boogeyman on the wall and seeing what sticks. But to your point that you mentioned earlier in the show, it really is particularly unfair for someone like Chris because, as you mentioned, he acknowledges climate change is real. He acknowledges it's a problem. He's actively investing in carbon-free resources like we talked about, nuclear and geothermal. He just doesn't think we should self-sabotage our most prolific industries unnecessarily and deprive the rest of the world of the prosperity yeah. that we've so enjoyed over the last, you know, several centuries. I fundamentally cannot see fathom why that makes him a boogeyman for holding that point of view.
And almost more important to him, and if you get to know Chris and if you listen to him, I guarantee you more important to him is improving human lives. Is literally energy poverty is what is the kind of thing that keeps him up at night. And I actually like this too. He talks about the energy transition, and you guys have heard me say it. I don't call it a transition. It's a forced march. It's not like we all said, let's dump fossil fuels and go to wind and solar. It's a handful of special interests, paid special interest groups or NGOs that have significant revenue are pushing this narrative that we have to dump fossil fuels. For whatever reason, they seem to hate people and affordable, reliable power. But this is what he says about the energy transition. And I'm just going to read this real quickly. This is from Chris Wright. He says, the energy transition isn't failing for lack of earnest effort. We know that. It's failing because energy is hard. And 3 billion people living in energy poverty are desperate for reliable, scalable energy sources. Meanwhile, 1 billion energy-rich people are resistant to diminishing their own standards of living with higher costs and increasingly unreliable energy diet.
It's a great quote.
It is.
It's a fabulous quote. And it really, you know, it sort of rounds out, we've covered some of the other appointments in previous episodes, but it rounds out this, basically the big agencies overseeing energy policy between Wright at DOE, Burgum at the Interior, right. Lee Zeldin at the EPA. Fundamentally, what this means to me, we don't know obviously yet. They haven't taken office just yet. They still have to be confirmed. I don't worry that they're not going to be confirmed, but what it signals to me is that the Trump, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the Trump administration is taking an all-hands approach to making sure American energy dominance is at the forefront of this administration, and that we have serious people that recognize the immense gifts that America has to offer the world and its own citizens when it comes to our natural resources. And we're going to develop those resources and make people's lives better and make the rest of the world's lives better, too.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this pick. It's hard to get excited about some of the people or some of the policies, but this is one that I think has the potential to be, it really could be transformational.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Chris's message, his philosophy about energy and energy abundance and the importance it plays in, you know, bringing people out of poverty. This has the potential to change the world. And I don't say that lightly.
Sure.
I say that in a realistic sense. And you're right, along with Doug Burgum and Lee Zeldin, unleashing American innovation is the best thing we can do to address what some people consider the threat of climate change. There is nothing better than you can do than to unleash American innovation, technology, creativity, entrepreneurship.
Yep.
And that's what these three people, that's what they represent to me.
That it really is our superpowers, is the natural resources that we have, our innovation, our ingenuity, and our entrepreneurial spirit. It really is our comparative superpower. So we'll, of course, keep you all updated as we get closer to when he may be taking, going through confirmation hearings or releasing various plans for the agency. We'll be sure to keep you all updated on that. But as we're coming up on our time here, Amy, do you have any major takeaways for our listeners?
Yeah, I think number one, it's mourning in America for energy independence, energy dominance, and energy just super abundance. That's number one. Number two is, I'm going to read from Chris Wright's Bettering Human Lives from Liberty Energy's report on this. So this is number two takeaway. Zero energy poverty by 2050 is a superior goal compared to net zero by 2050. So reducing energy poverty, superior to net zero. I couldn't agree with that more. I'm going to say this, though. For our friends in Colorado, you still may need a generator because we still have the wrong people running energy policy in the state of Colorado. So still, you're going to need your generator in Colorado. But that's okay. We can be happy for everybody else as we make our way, we navigate through Colorado's backward energy policy.
We'll just have FOMO for that's the rest
right.
of the state.
That's yeah. right.
And unfortunately, the advice still applies. That does it for us on another episode of Power Gab. If you like what you saw here, you can check out our channel, IITV, at YouTube. Our entire back catalog is there. We produce new episodes every single week. We're also available wherever you get your audio podcasts, whether that's Spotify or Apple. And if you'd like to suggest future show topics to us or guests that you'd like to see us interview on the show, send those over to info@powergab.org. But until next week, we'll see you.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Power Gab, I hope you'll share it with a friend.
Or even an enemy.
You can listen to more episodes on all of your favorite streaming services. We release a new episode each week.
If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for a show topic, email info@powergab.org. And to watch the video version, just search the letters IITV for Independence Institute TV on YouTube for this and many other great conversations.